Hello and welcome to Grazia Life Advice, Grazia's podcast. I'm Rhiannon and each week I'll be interviewing women worth listening to and getting them to pass on the 6 best pieces of advice they've ever been given. And the worst piece too. Thank you so much for joining us for our 7th episode. This week's guest is Meg Matthews. The original Britpop queen, Meg first entered the nation's consciousness in the 90s as the wife of Oasis's Noel Gallagher. They later had a daughter, Anais, who is famous in her own right these days. Part of the Primrose Hill set, including the likes of Kate Moss and Sadie Frost, we became used to seeing pap shops of her partying days. But when we met Meg in her North London home recently, it was a different story. Now a menopause campaigner, her website, Meg's Menopause, is now her award-winning passion, trying to bring better awareness to the topic, which many women face silently. As well as talking about that, Meg gave us advice on everything from addiction to feminism via drinking enough water. So, over to Meg. I'm here with Meg Matthews in her gorgeous London home. Hi, Meg.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm really good, thank you.
Yeah, we've got lovely, got a little doggy visitor as well. We've got Oscar over there.
Oscar here, yeah. Oscar's always here.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just hanging out, yeah. You know, getting a bit old now.
Oh.
Yeah, the other one's going to come bouncing through the door probably any minute. So might have to just go, kids and dogs might come bounding into the middle of the podcast. So we'll all be ready for that.
So we're here to get your best advice, your 6 pieces of advice, but and before that, let's talk. You're in a really interesting point in your life at the moment. We know you in so many different guises, and at the moment you're talking about the menopause. That's what you're all about.
So basically, I suppose, look, I've been going for a while now, haven't I? Look back from the 90s, rock chick, you know, early 2000, I was doing my wallpaper and furniture and you know, Baker Street Boys. Yeah, there's been a few projects on the way, and this just came about because, as we all know, if you know my story, I hit the menopause really badly about sort of 48 49, hit it really badly. Didn't know what it was, as most people don't, and then hit 50 and it was like a tsunami, and I just could not believe that the symptoms and what comes with the menopause is, it just actually, you know, the thought of, I just thought, oh, I'm not going to have a period, was going to be absolutely great. Just thought, wow, a hot flush, no periods, you know, wow, I can, you know, sail through that. But little did I know, it's like, you know, chronic fatigue, aching joints, feeling nauseous, no libido, just a flat lining. I wouldn't call it depression, but you just feel flat. It's just an ongoing, as we know, 34 symptoms, and it's really quite frightening. And the more women that I speak to, the more that I understand that it is, you know, women do not know, we have not been prepared for any of this. And this is what's frightening about it. You know, I don't know whether it's our way of life that it's, these symptoms have come on a lot worse because we're, you know, we have a lot more stress in our lives and we feel you know, faster lifestyle or whatever. But I think with the way that we eat, the way that we exercise, the way that we don't really look after ourselves, like, you know, that we should do, I think it's having a big impact on us mentally and physically. And so with Meg's Menopause, I just hope that I can just put some awareness out there, you know, quick, easy, nice, fun stuff on this nice pink website, which is simple and nice, and all honesty, all like what I've been through, and you know saying all the things that, you know, gosh, I just didn't want to go to the gym because I put weight on, and I was just like, you know, how mad does this sound, but you should go to the gym to lose weight. But I was so self-conscious that I didn't want to go to the gym till I'd lost weight. But so many women could actually relate to that, you know, and the comfort eating and the wanting to stay in at night, you know, because you just think, oh, I just, you know, making excuses not to go out. And
I think seeing someone glamorous like yourself who's living this, you know, great lifestyle and talking about those things is what makes it so, you know, kind of so great that people are able to kind of see that resource, you know.
Yeah, because I've just looked around, and like I was saying before, I'm like, sat there and thought, why isn't EastEnders, why isn't Emmerdale, why isn't Hollyoaks? Not one of these soaps have done a storyline. They've done paedophilia, they've done mental health issues, but they've never covered the menopause, you know. And, you know, like if we had Bette Lynch having a hot flush many years ago and not being able to pick her earrings out because she didn't know what colour to put on or what pair, you know, probably would have prepared a lot of people, you know, like, you know, instantly like my dad, or, you know, it would have come in a storyline. And these storylines, I think, are very important with the nation, because they always seem to learn something for it, why they're actually watching it. But there wasn't any of that, you know. Oh, my wife or my partner is not feeling like sex, you know, and then, you know, the pressure of it or whatever. But it's all down to, like, you know, the lack of testosterone and hormones. So if we had just had that out there, it would have made it, you know, I think a lot easier, and would have made it sort of like just a talkable piece. But it wasn't.
No, they need to get you on storyline consultant.
Yeah, I'm up there, everyone. Listen out. If you need a storyline, I've got great ones, great ones.
Right, so we're here to hear. So basically the idea is we want to hear the best piece of advice you've ever been given, and things that have helped, you know, kind of shape your life. And we're going to pass it on to people listening, you know.
Yeah. So my mum, sadly, she's passed away, but she used to always keep a book, and she used to always write bits of poetry and bits of Oscar Wilde and anything that was a good saying. So when I was going through a bad time or whatever, she would just always have these sayings. Wow. And I've actually kept them to this day. So I've basically just taken the ones out because they're quite scribbled when she left them to me. So basically I've got some bits of advice for all sorts here. Yeah.
And how lovely they all came from your mum as well. What a great thing to have.
So basically, she was very, very like that. She was very quite articulate, not like me. My dad's just one of these people who just watch football and love sports and actually is off, you know, travelling back Bangkok. My mum was completely different. She was like always taking me to art galleries, which I moaned about, or was like, you know, read this, and talked about history, which is really reflected on Aeneas, because Aeneas is just like absolutely loves history. Wow. Didn't really rub that much on me, but, you know, was always taking me to, you know, to great places and to see things, and in that way, you know, I just wish that I'd taken a bit more on board. So six pieces of advice. When you first said this, I was a bit like, oh, I just thought, oh, should I just do the beauty ones, drink lots of water, get lots of sleep? And then thought, no, what I'll do is I'll get my mum's little book out and take ones that she'd said. So six bits of advice. So first one I did was travel. And I just think this one is a great one. Your destination is never a place, but a new way of seeing things.
Okay, so tell us what that means to you.
So my destination is never a place, but a new way of seeing things. So I just think as you're traveling, I've made the very big mistake of probably saying that I've been to New York many a times, and spent a lot of the 90s probably just living in a hotel room.
Fun.
I probably just did not actually probably see New York properly till Aeneas was probably 7 or 8.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'd spent lots of times arriving in New York, you know, going clubbing, seeing the most amazing hotel rooms, but not ever going into the destination, not actually living it and not getting the experience from it. So I've made a conscious decision of, as these years have gone on, actually to when I go to a place is to act really like a tourist and to get the most out of it. Because I could easily just go from like, oh, arrive in New York, stay in the hotel, hit Barney's, you know, hit Berg off, go to a few great restaurants, and that's it. But now whenever I go anywhere, I'd go in it as a typical get time out and go and actually follow it and actually act like a tourist, because I just think that is the only way to actually do it now, and is to learn and to be there. Because I had all these great, great places that I went to, but it was this small. I was just, aeroplane, hotel, partying all night, staying up, you know, going to a few restaurants and then leave, you know. So I just think, you know, when you get to a place, you know, you really have to get to a destination and, you know, and embrace it and to be there and just to learn.
Yeah, because traveling is one of the great things in life that kind of makes you grow and changes you. You can all think of experiences we've had on holidays that
and I wasn't getting any of those experiences, you know. It's like, I really think, you know, like when you're there, you do as the locals do, you know, now. So if you immerse yourself, like I just went to Tulum and it was like, you know, just like we lived like sort of, you know, in these sort of huts on the beach and, you know, and I was just a bit like, you know, love the fact that it's like, you know, the fresh fish of the day or, you know, no shoes and just really embrace like that. You know, there was downpours of rain and we were soaking wet. And I remember probably, you know, years ago, I'd be like, oh my God, it's raining. But just, you know, enjoying the rain and then it would dry off within minutes, you know, instead of just thinking, oh my God, the rain is here, you know. So, yeah, just embracing and living and learning and just taking it all on board, I think, is, you know, it's just, you know, just getting right into the culture.
Love that. And next, just quite, you know, not at all deep, finding yourself. You said for your next one. Tell us about this.
Finding yourself. Okay. Not until we are lost do we begin to understand ourselves. Life is a school of hard knocks, and sometimes it isn't until knocked down that you find inner strength. Well, for me, that could just basically, number one, just sum up basically me and my world of addiction. So for me, you know, I could go on and on really basically because, you know, I'd suffered with alcoholism and addiction in lots of things from food to shopping. You know, I was and it's not until it's actually like, as they say, sort of reach rock bottom, you know, that I've actually sort of like took that knock. And then it was just like, finally, I have to surrender, because there's only only so many knocks that you can take. And truthfully, you know, I think I've been given, you know, a few chances, and they're not knocks like, oh my God, I've, you know, tried to commit suicide, or I've, you know, been hit by a car, but they're just knocks that are like you drop a stone in a pond and their rippling effect. It's just that, you know, if the night out you drop the stone in the pond, it's the ripple effects after. Like, you maybe you've lost the phone, or you're the next day you feel so rubbish that you've blown your best friend out on her birthday. I just think it's those little tiny things that basically eventually they add up, and eventually it's just not good. It's not etiquette. It's not etiquette. It's not the right word, but it's just not the way that you should actually, you know, be towards your friends or conduct your life, you know. So for that one, that just covers all that area for me, and it's really important, and I make a conscious effort most days to keep to that.
How do you do that? Because I think we all have said it to people, you're at rock bottom, it can't get worse, things are only going to get better, but you can't always believe it when you're down there, can
no.
you? That's the worst thing about it.
Yeah.
How do you kind of...
I think something finally clicks, or you have to finally just say no.
Yeah.
That's what I've just found. You know what? It's only me that could eat that cream cake, or buy that Gucci jacket, or have that glass of wine, you know. So for me, it's very important. And I just really love the way that this is said. And I just think, you know, I just think I have to make, you know, concert, looking around my life and how much gratitude and how grateful I am for this beautiful house and my dogs and my beautiful daughter and life. I love it because I like to keep my life really simple these days. I don't put myself out there in any ways that is going to make me feel uncomfortable, which is going to make me feel, you know, in a way that if I feel uncomfortable, then I just don't go or don't do it. I just think a simple life, well, my life is not simple. Come on, we will say that. But in my my world, it's quite a simple life. I just like to keep it. Nothing that's going to make me feel uncomfortable. And the minute that I know that I'm going to feel uncomfortable, then I just don't really... if it's, say, it's a red carpet, for instance, and I've been invited, and on that day I'm all about, I'd really like to go, but on that day I'm just not really feeling it. So then I just say no. Who do I think of? I think of number one. Because number one is not being selfish. Number one means that if I think about Meg first, then that means that I will be a better mum. If I always put myself first, then the knock-on effect is going to be best for everybody.
And do you think there were times in your life when you were going to those things and you just did not want to? You
were making... I mean, in the 90s and everything, of course, it was all very rock and roll, wasn't it? Wouldn't think twice about it. But I mean, look, I'm 52 now. I'm not 22. So I think, you know, I've grown a lot and, you know, and I've made a few mistakes on the way. But I, you know, I don't knock them. I just think everything, I've loved every bit of my life, from the Britpop days in the 90s to all of it. I just think I've been one very lucky girl.
Yeah, and the highs and the lows, they complement each other, don't they?
Yeah, and they, you know, I don't know, I haven't had the lows where I'm like, oh god, you know, I just, the lows are probably, you know, lows are like what everyone gets. Oh, you might just get, you know, a bill, or you might get this, but it's nothing that's like nobody else. It's just life on life's terms, isn't it? That's all it is.
Now, feminism, it's such a tricky subject. Every woman has their own definition of what it means to them. And so you've taken advice here from, well, quite a good source, Maya Angelou.
Well, yeah, because every time I turn on the TV, there is someone saying, you know, asking, you know, all these men, are they feminist? Women, are they feminist? You know, say, what is a feminist? I mean, at the moment, it's like the most sort of, I think, put out question there to everybody. So I just think, you know, this one was great. I'm a feminist. I've been a female for a long time now. It'd be stupid not to be on my own side, which I think is just sums it all up.
How simple.
And, you know, don't have to go into great depths here. I think, you know, we're, you just as feminist as that you believe. I mean, you know, there's still this whole thing, feminists is burn the bras and, you know, but it's not really. I just think that also because all of a sudden women, fantastically in the last year or so, it's amazing how it's changing and women are really standing together. And even Meg's menopause, I don't think would have been, you know, me talking about masturbation, you know, and libido and and dry vaginas would have been a little bit frowned upon. I just think I was just at this moment last year when I decided to do it, it just flowed. But I think women were ready, and I think women were always ready, but I think it was probably a bit of a male, a dominant world for some reason, and it might not have been. I mean, I was on like Radio 4 talking about it and masturbation on Women's Hour, which I just absolutely loved, and I just was so honoured to be on that programme, and it was great. And it was, you know, it was taken, it was just like, you know, 3.9 million viewers or something, and the feedback was amazing. And it was just like, great, Meg, you're at last, you're, you know, you're opening up, and you're not just saying, oh my god, I'm having a hot flush. It's like, you know, these are things that are going to happen. It's going to happen to me. Your pelvic floor is going to go, is going to go. We are not equipped and made to last forever. No. We used to get the menopause at the age of 57 and probably die at 59. Well, hopefully now I'm 52, and you know, I'd love to live to the ripe old age of 80. Yeah. So why should, for the next 30 years, do I have to go through thinking that I'm, you know, you know, falling to bits, or I can't share this, or, you know, speak to my partner and just say, you know, oh gosh, at the moment, you know, things aren't exactly as they used to work down there, but not feel embarrassed about it. It can just become an everyday talking, you know. You know, like even sort of from, you know, buying some Tampax or buying some condoms, why can it not be, I'm buying a bit of lube, or, you know.
Well, absolutely. And because there's a lot of debate at the moment with Me Too and Time's Up and all the things going on at the moment.
Yeah.
It can feel quite depressing, but then people are saying it's an exciting time to be a woman. Would you veer on that side of things? We're talking.
Yeah, I think it's a sign because Meg's menopause launch. I just think it is exciting, and, you know, and it, I think it's moving a lot quicker than we thought it was going to. I mean, you know, and that's what I think is really exciting, because the way that it, way that it's moving, the way I would never have thought that I launched on the 10th of January and I've had over 80,000 hits on Meg's menopause. I mean, the timing is completely right. I think women are quite proud to say, I'm going, not proud, but they're like, you know, yeah, I'm going through the menopause. Doesn't matter. I'm going through the menopause. Before, women were like, they didn't want to say they were going through the menopause. It was that shit taboo. And that's why I want to take the shame and the taboo, because you're going to have 20 or 30 years of this, you know. So why sit there feeling, you know, what we've been made to feel, you're over the hill, or, you know, oh, you know, oh my God, she's grouchy, she's going through the menopause. Yeah. All these sort of taboo sayings that, you know, oh, don't mind her, she's probably going through the menopause. Oh, you know, it was just sort of brushed off. And there was not much support. So I just think this is a really good time that it can just flourish. And just hopefully, just like, you know, you going on there and reading it will just think, you know, you'll be like, yeah, so what? Yeah, I am still going to, you know, going to go out there and I'm going to do my stuff. And with this help, you know, when you wake up in the morning and your joints are like inflamed, which is the worst feeling. Mm. And you walk to the toilet and all of a sudden you think, oh my God, I've got rheumatoid arthritis. Oh my God. And then basically it's just, it's just the lack of estrogen.
Yeah.
And it's a simple thing to put back in your body. Yeah. 4 or 5 days later, by rubbing on a bit of gel or HRT or bioidenticals or whatever that you want to take, because it's not for me, I'm not a doctor, so I can't, you know, put you in the right direction. But any of these things that you want to do, it's a simple, really simple thing. I rub a bit, some gel on my inner thigh, you know, and I had no idea it was just that.
Yeah.
And then 4 days later, my night sweat stopped.
God.
That's it. That's all it was. I mean, HRT, you know, I got caught up in the whole thing back in, you know, 2014 or 15, thinking that word HRT was like, wow, that's scary. Mm. You know, do we do this? Mm. I mean, it was like put out there and it was for us to decide, us women. There was nothing out there. I think, you know, our parents were probably given HRT, but I think it was a lot of a stronger dose.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's, you know, it now women, you can just, you know, just take it and go for it and just basically get on top of your symptoms and, you know, and you should be all right.
Yeah. And it's about reclaiming your body as well.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
That's the word I was doing. Reclaiming your body. Yeah.
It's great. And sorry. So this is your fourth piece of advice. One that we all know, but I think probably don't think about enough.
Okay, Rome wasn't built in a day. Patience, building things slowly but surely. Okay, Rome wasn't built in a day. I think my mum probably said that time and time again. I really need to take this on board because I have got a bit of an ADHD. So I want everything now. Don't know, Zariah. She's sitting there like that. So I've learned, so setting up makes menopause, I've learned to, you know, just go with the flow, which is very hard for me because I'm wanting to, I just want to conquer the world. I want to put it out there. I want my products out there. I want everything out there now, but it doesn't work like that. You know, everything takes time. Yeah. Everything has to be, you know, passed. Everything is, you know, and also the timing has to be right. And of course, there is a great schedule that is written over there, which is, you know, this comes this month and that comes that month. But really, I have to learn to zip it because I want to cry from the rooftops about what's happening.
Have you always been like that? Have you always been like, I want it now. I want to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. That's one of my, traits. Yeah. Before I thought it was quite a rock and roll trait and I'd be like, we're going to New York tomorrow. Mm. But actually, it doesn't work well, especially like even my dad goes, yeah, you're always like, we're going to do this. And then it's like, well, hold on a minute. You know, some people have to work, Meg. Some people have to do this. And then Meg, we don't listen to you because you probably change your mind by Tuesday. You'll probably go, right, we're all doing this weekend. So now I've learned to zip it and to think about it, go through it, and then say, oh, let's do this.
Is that a later development in your life? Something
yeah,
you've
that's
taken?
Very late. Yeah, that's probably only came in the last 2 years. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Never too late to learn and change, change your behaviour.
Yeah.
And this goes back to what you were talking about earlier. I was really interested. You were saying about like drink and food and also shopping all being tied up in one kind of thing that you had to tackle.
Which I had to tackle. So, you know, buying things, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm a compulsive buyer, but it's better to learn to make do and save the planet. Yeah. Okay, so that comes down to everything with me. Mm. It would be like, you know, I would be like, you know what, this sofa, do you not really think it looks a bit grubby? Or do you think, oh, you know, but as well now, because if you see on like my Instagram, I'm pretty like, all of a sudden got this whole thing about plastic. The reason that my products are all basically being put on hold is because I'm basically hoping to, I don't want to do any plastic packaging.
No.
So I'm looking for something which was 100% compostable.
Okay, great.
Which will be, you know, hopefully a first. And it will be quite amazing because I just think every time I've all of a sudden looked, and I just see, like the other day, you can't buy a cucumber without plastic. Yeah. And so now I know that I'm saying do with what I want, because what would I do if I just think, oh my God, I fancy a new sofa. Where does this sofa go? What does it do? Where does it get recycled? It's like everything that you, you know. Yeah. You know, I'm not so good at doing that with my clothes, by the way, but we'll get back to that. I do give it to charity, though, so it is quite good. I suppose they are, and I do recycle. Yeah. I'm quite good. I'm basically, if I've, I love hardly ever worn it, that, yeah. So if I get things and then I'm like, either then if Anais doesn't claim it, which he doesn't that often, which I'm quite surprised, but I don't know if it's like, oh, that's mum's.
You must have some amazing stuff, but I just kill for.
I know, but she just likes to like dress like she's a ragamuffin, doesn't she? She just likes to dress like she's sometimes like a homeless person, but that's just her thing. I mean, designer gear is not her stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I would have thought she would have just been like head to toe, you know, but no, she just like wants to wear her trainers and her jeans and she's comfy and, you know, no statements going on there.
In years to come, she'll be like, why did you sell them?
Why did you go and do that? I'm like, well, I offered it to you. Yeah. I offered it to you, but you didn't want it.
Is there a time you can think of where you went just like crazy and just bought something totally outlandish?
Yeah, quite often, actually.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose I do have a little bit of tendency to do that. I am quite good, actually. I don't spend stupid amounts of money on clothes. But if there's something or a key piece or a couple of pieces that I like that I know that would I won't say last because they're probably seasonal, so I won't say that, but I suppose the last thing that I did buy that I really wanted for ages was a Celine double knitted cashmere jumper.
Lovely, yeah.
That big one. I bought that and I just really talked myself into it in Dover Street Market. I mean, I was I really talked myself into that. That was last winter, but I've reused it this winter, so I don't feel so bad about that.
There you go.
But at the time when you're paying the whatever it is, I don't want to say, it is quite a lot.
Yeah.
And they still bobble the same as any other cashmere jumper, I have to say that. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Celine, but they do.
And your final piece of advice is one that we all know, but we probably don't do enough.
Yeah. I mean, I really was a bit like drinking 3 litres of water a day. Mm. And then on the 20th, on the 20th of December, I went away with my dad because my mum passed away and I don't really like to do Christmas and do the same thing. So I went away with my dad and I just said, look, Dad, I don't really want really Christmas. And S was at Noel. So I just was like, I don't want to do the whole Christmas thing. So let's just go away and just have a week. Go on the 20th, get back on the 27th. Perfect. Lovely. So what I did was I said, right, I'm going to make a constant effort because to drink 3 litres of water a day. Mm. And I did, and I got back, and I've never had so many people comment on, like, what really? Have you done and why do you look so good? And then I kept it up. I mean, it hasn't been so good over the last week. I don't know if it's like cold or whatever. Yeah. But, it, you know, and I made a constant effort just to drink that per day. And it really made a difference. Mm. And I noticed, like, you know, I just had more energy. So I had more energy. My skin looked better. Just everything seemed to be, I went to the toilet more on time.
Yeah.
I mean, it did help with anything, but I've never done it before. I've always sort of just thought, oh yeah, everyone says drink water. Yeah. But I just drank 3 litres. I've drank a litre a day, but I've never done like 3 litres.
It's a lot. It
feels like a lot. But if you keep the, of course, my usable bottle in there with my piece of charcoal in.
Yeah.
Yeah, my great bottle over there, which we will show you because it's amazing. Yeah, get it. It's all right. It's amazing. So this bottle, which is amazing. And I've got my Click cup here, which I think you should we should show you as well.
Oh, so, oh, yeah.
Get my Click cup as well. So this is what I do. This one here. It's amazing. It's Black and Blum. And that's great because it has charcoal in as well.
Yeah.
So I was just drinking those. And then this is the new Click cup, which is amazing.
And you get a tube of coffee that way as well.
Well, I've just learned that. That shows you where I am, yeah. Not that I drink loads of coffee, yeah. But I have like one a day.
And yeah, I mean, that's everyone always tells you, don't they, drink water, but yeah, to be able to see such a difference.
No, I saw such a difference. So I can actually vouch that that is one thing that really, really is, it works completely. So I think it was something like 8 of those, but that's like, it's not that much really. Hey. And I have my filter and then...
You get used to it, don't you?
Yeah, because then you sort of drink. So I would drink like one definitely when I woke up in the morning, which I found was really bizarre because I used to think, you know, wake up in the morning, be either starving or thinking, oh, I need to have a coffee. But then I would drink that as I woke up, sort of wake up in the morning, fill that up and drink it. And it just sort of like, I don't know, just started me on the day feeling really good, you know. Yeah. And it's a lot easier to do than hot lemon and whatever. Yeah, so that's just like, you just drink that, wake up in the morning, just drunk it straight away. And it was like perfect starting of the day.
We can all do that. It's not cheap. I like that one. Yeah. And finally, we're going to end on the worst piece of advice you've ever been given.
Okay.
Tell us that.
Shave. Shave in your bikini line or shave anything that matters. I think that has just got to be the worst. I mean, I went to boarding school, so... there was a bit of a time that everyone, you know, I started there when I was, I think, 10 or 11. So you're probably at that age. And, you know, and the girls were shaving their arms because they had longer hairs on their arms. And, you know, I remember one girl even shaving her chest. And and then, you know, I suppose we just and then shaving your bikini line, which I just think was, I did it once and then it was like, absolutely no.
You're in for a world of pain, aren't you?
You know what I mean? When it grows back, it's itchy and everything. But I just think even if it's just for a quick, if you're stuck and you can't have a wax or you can't have an IMAC or whatever, I'm just like, do not shave. Please do not shave it. That was my one bit of advice that I just think. If I could give anyone, especially young girls, you know, because it will grow back. It grows back different ways. And I've seen some horrific sights of people that have shaved that have just said, why did I ever shave at a younger age? No one told me, you know.
Brilliant. Well, I think I'm all set up for the day there. Loads of water and no shaving.
Okay, yeah, loads of water and shaving. Actually, hopefully they're really good and I hope people get a lot from it. And of course, you know, if you need anything, go to Meg's Menopause because I think there you can pick up absolutely everything.
Brilliant. Thanks, Meg.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much to Meg for all of her advice. If you want to know more about her website, you can go to megsmenopause.com. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, please do subscribe, rate, review us. It really helps. We look forward to seeing you next week for more advice from women worth listening to.
Find the perfect space for your business with DRK & Company Realty. Flexible office suites are available. Employees and clients benefit from free parking, front door access, and walkable dining, retail, and hotels at the Polaris Lifestyle Center. Managed by DRK & Company Realty, one of Central Ohio's most trusted leaders, this safe, well-maintained property offers dedicated on-site management and responsive maintenance. Grow your business at an address designed for success at 470 Old Worthington Road. Visit drk-realty.com to learn more.
The semi-annual warehouse clearance event is on at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $1,000 store-wide with our lifetime price guarantee and 100% comfort guarantee. Why shop anywhere else? Limited time clearance savings only at Sleep Outfitters. Visit sleepoutfitters.com.